Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. It's regional week, and the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air, going to be on the air all week. Start off today at our favorite spot in Midtown, Fuzzy's Tacos. Want to thank Justin Harris very much for inviting us down here today. By the way, a guy comes in here wearing a Mississippi State shirt and talks to you, Kelly. What was that about?
Well, first of all, I'm not at liberty to discuss his name, but his initials are Austin Lovett.
Yeah.
And, and he just said it's been a while since he's done laundry, and that's all he had left. So I said, ain't you got a Halloween costume you can wear?
I thought he was wearing a Halloween costume. Well, kind of. Appeared in a Mississippi State outfit.
Yeah, but, you know, Mississippi State got into a regional, and they'll play us, you know, in baseball, so we can't talk too bad about them.
Right? Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
We can.
This week.
We're praying, of course, for the super regional between Troy and Southern Miss, aren't we, Dima? It could happen, couldn't it, Dima?
It could happen. I'm not praying for it, though. I'll tell you that right now.
We're at Fuzzy's Tacos, and we got our buddy Daniel Stewart with us from Hancock Whitney Bank and our baseball analyst. And Daniel's always good to have you here, man.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Exciting week.
All right, so I hadn't had a chance to talk to you since the tournament, but never before, and I've followed Southern Miss a long time, as you know, I don't know that I've ever seen a better setup and illustrated pitching depth that was superior to their opponents more so than this past weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we had the benefit of maybe playing one less game, and, you know, the loss kind of got us a little bit deeper into our pitching staff. But, I mean, the guys we ran out there were not – quick, you know, they did their innings and were able to somewhat save the bullpen, but, you know, just from a strength of pitching that we had, it was really impressive to see.
You know, to me, the most impressive game too was that Sunday morning game against Troy with Cross Sibley and Colby Allen.
Yeah,
just beautiful pitching from both of them.
It was, you know, Cross came out, did his job, and, you know, Colby actually pitched a little bit more than I was comfortable with, because I was like, man, we've got another game to play this afternoon. But, you know, Coach Ostrander and the guys, they know what they're doing. Colby came in, shut the door, and got us into that championship game.
And Dima, you're real excited because the bracket came out today after the Friday game. All the games are scheduled for 8 o'clock at night. Made you really happy, didn't it?
I don't even know what to say at this
point. Yeah. Dima is the walking dead right now.
I really am. He is like the walking dead.
I went to bed last night at 8:30. I haven't gone to bed that early in years.
Well, let me say they're scheduled
for 8. I'm still tired from this week.
And as you and I both know, they're not going to be played at 8 o'clock. They're going to be played at maybe 9:30.
We'll get one
maybe
of those.
10.
Oh, I thought you meant they're not going to be in the winner's bracket.
I don't want to say that. I don't think the games will go off on time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they won't. Of course they won't.
We'll get one of those popcorn thunderstorms about 4
oh, yeah.
o'clock.
And then, you know, the Sunday night, you know, regional championship game, ESPN2 will pick it up and put it at 9:30 or 10, you know, after whoever SEC team plays before them.
So. Correct.
You guys talked about the Sibley game, and I just want to touch on that briefly.
It was beautiful, man.
But there's a guy, again, and obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of Cross Sibley, but there's a guy, relief pitch, you need him to pitch to a matchup, one guy, he's good. You need him for two innings, he's good.
Yeah.
Need him to start, he's good.
Yeah.
It is so important that you have guys like that, but Daniel, in the pitching mindset, they're rare.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we talk about the starter mind frame, the closer mind frame. Well, then there's the Cross Sibley mind frame. He doesn't care what he's asked to do. He just goes out and does his job. So having that guy, like you said, I've seen him throw to a batter, and I've seen him throw five or six innings when needed. You know, the announcers at the game when he was pitching were high on him as well. I didn't realize that was his 100th career 101. 101st career appearance with Southern Miss. So you talk about just a workhorse we've had for us these last few years.
106 is the record.
Why is it that when you, in general discussion, when you talk about Southern Miss pitching, his name doesn't come up much?
Well, I guess it's just the way he pitches. You know, Colby Allen's just such a visible, you know, emotional guy on the mound, yeah. You know, and Cross isn't like that. And, you know, he's generally not coming in to shut games down. You know, he's normally coming in those middle relief innings. And really, when you come in those middle relief innings, you know, people like me who write stories and look back like, oh, those three innings were important. But, you know, everybody's watching and is going to remember Colby Allen's final strikeout or Josh Ock's final or whoever it is in the final out. You know, they're not going to remember the three innings that Cross pitched. So I think that's the reason why. But you're right. I mean, he's been so steady the whole season, you know, went through a little slump. But then, you know, he threw, I think, the most pitches on the staff this week in Montgomery. He pitched in three games and, of course, getting those three innings out of the gate. So,
But he's not a guy also that's going to sling it up there at 98 miles.
No. And his velocity was a little down on Sunday. I think it was 88 when I was looking up at the big board, which is much down for him. So he was pitching on fumes in that Sunday morning game, which, you know.
And pitch magnificent.
Exactly, which is equally as impressive.
And I have always argued that people think too much of velocity. I get it. You know, you can't – it's good to have velocity. But when you've got a pitcher – and Greg Maddux always comes to mind. The great Greg Maddux with the Atlanta Braves never threw the ball as hard as anybody in the league, but got everybody out. That's the art and craft of pitching.
Yeah,
that's the difference between a pitcher and a thrower.
Right.
And Cross Civil gets people out.
He does a really good job. I mean, his arm angle, number one, he's got a really deceptive, you know, he really keeps the ball behind him. He comes from that really big three-quarter slot on his arm. Good slider, good change. He's not going to light up the radar gun. But like you said, Kelly, he knows how to pitch.
Yes.
He knows how to keep batters off, get them off tempo. And he's not going to walk a ton of people. You know, he's had a couple of rough outings here and there. But, I mean, when I think of Cross Sibley, I think of that guy that's just going to go out there and grind out innings.
Well, and you say that he's had a couple of rough outings, but he's had 101 of them.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to have.
And that's the thing. His bad outings, I mean, every pitcher is going to have a bad. Colby Allen has had a bad outing or two. I mean, every pitcher is going to have those. But I remember him more for those come in and, you know, when starter gets into trouble, Cross comes in the third or fourth, and he gets you to the seventh inning, gets you to those back
end
pitchers.
He settles the game now.
He settles the game.
You were at the post game after that second game with Troy. Their coach was going on and on about Southern Miss pitching, wasn't he?
He was. He gave some nice accolades to the pitching staff, especially Colby Allen, and said that, you know, if there was any competitor that he wanted to coach, he pointed out Colby Allen and said that that's a man that competes and he's the biggest competitor I've ever seen. The Southern Miss pitching, I mean, especially it's set up to win tournaments like they did in Montgomery.
I agree.
And it's also set up to win regionals like they have this weekend. Now, there's a couple of guys that you want to look at with responses this weekend. Number one in Camden Clark. You need him to have a good outing.
Yeah.
He did not have a good outing on Friday. And you know, I asked him about it yesterday at the watch party. We had an interview with him, and he said, listen, I'm still learning. You know, I've got to learn how to flush that and move on to the next outing. And the next guy you want to see who Southern Miss really needs to have a much better outing is Josh Ock. Ock, you know, blew up really in the end of that championship game. You thought he was just going to come in and close the game easy peasy, right? Well, when you moved Camden Clark and Sundstrom to your rotation, that made room for guys like Cross Sibley, Josh Ock, and Colby Allen to close games for you. And if Josh Ock, you know, has fallen off the closing games for you side of things, that's a little concerning because then you're kind of going to some other guys that, you know.
It was shocking, really.
Yes. But those two guys to me, and Daniel, you can comment on this, Camden Clark, Josh Ock, those two guys would need to see responses from this weekend.
Yeah, you really do. And, you know, I think our guys have done a really good job when they've had some rough outings bouncing back. So,
absolutely.
You know, give them a few days rest, you know, get some working on this week. I think they're going to be fine. But Ock's got to be one of those guys that we can rely on late in the game to shut games down.
And, Daniel, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the first guys Oz goes to.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he's not. Coach Oz does not want these guys to think about these bad outings too long. He's going to get them back out there, get them back on the ball.
Because you need them. I mean, that's the point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We need them at their peak performance.
But the other thing is Coach Ostrander has never had a long leash on anybody. All right?
So
the first sign of any troubled waters, I mean, and really at this point, that's the case for everybody.
But it also speaks to the depth of our pitching staff.
Right.
You know, we've got guys like the Ox, and, you know, if they do struggle, well, maybe you know, somebody like a Bruce Littleton or J.W. Armistead comes in.
Crabtree.
You know, those we've got some alternatives. I didn't realize Drake Meeks was throwing 97, 98 miles an hour either. I was impressed. So we've got some arms that can come in if our premier guys do fumble or struggle a little bit.
Yeah. Do I hear music, guys? I'm having trouble.
No, that's the this music.
I was a little surprised at how much they used Drake. Was it not Meeks, but
Teague Broadhead?
Yeah.
No, he's been really good for them this season. And, you know, he's kind of the guy that Oz has on that, like, I call it his circle of trust in pitchers. And he's kind of was on the last one, end of it, you know. But, you know, he came in and got some good innings for them. I expect him to be big this weekend.
All right, can you stick around a while?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to bring our friend here from Fuzzy's on, who's a former pitcher himself, Justin Harris, and then we're going to get you back, all right?
Nice.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. Fuzzy's Tacos. Guys, it is regional week. I feel the excitement in the air.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road during regional week. And we really do, Trent. I'm not saying this because he's just sitting here. Kelly can verify this. One of the greatest friends we've made on this show in the last 10 years is with us right now, Justin Harris, owner and operator here at Fuzzy's and also Dickie's Barbecue. Former pitcher for Pearl River Community College and Samford University in Birmingham. And welcome, man. We're always glad to be down here.
Thanks, Bob. Always happy to have you guys out here.
And you got your beautiful facility here, and you got the great assistant manager and Amy, and the food's always good, my man.
And they're an equal opportunity employer because I get to do trivia here on Wednesday night.
I still never figured that out. But Justin, has he ever caused you any heartburn?
We've had to cut him off a few times, had to mute his mic, but other than that, not many issues.
Sounds like the Eagle Hour.
Yeah. I'm consistent, if nothing else, right?
Can we let the record reflect also that he had a salad today?
Again. He's eating healthy, he told us.
He said, I got to lose some weight, and he has like a 32-ounce Coke next to his salad.
So. Right. And then he'll get three watermelon margaritas after the show.
At 2:01.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, you're not supposed to talk about my drinking habits.
That's after the show.
And in the old days, I would have them before the show.
I know.
At least I'm having them after the show.
Yeah, we had to stop that.
Responsibility.
I actually tried to have one during a show here one time, had to stop that. Yeah. Justin, it's going to be a big weekend for Fuzzy's in Midtown, isn't it?
Absolutely, man. We're looking forward to another regional here. You know, our fans come out and support us here when we got a regional. I mean, all year, but obviously it's a different level of excitement, energy, and buzz around here when we get to host a regional.
You know, I was in here last year after the Alabama game, that Saturday afternoon regional game. Man, the spirit in this place was just through the roof. It was so much fun being down here after that kind of heavyweight fight. The Golden Eagles had won. That's what you're looking for all weekend, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what we want. Yeah, you can definitely tell the difference in the energy and the buzz, especially over a big game like that. I mean, obviously, we got some tough competitors, other teams, and this regional as well. You know, I think the NCAA did us a favor. You know, last year was the number one toughest RPI regional, and this year they gave us the number two.
And 3 years ago, they sent us to Tennessee.
Yeah. They always got our back, huh?
Yeah, they always taking care of us, that's for sure. All right, you played collegiate baseball. You were a pitcher. Pearl River and Samford, two great programs. When you look at this pitching staff, we were talking in the first segment, we believe this is the deepest, most talented pitching staff perhaps we've seen at Southern Miss. What would you think?
I would agree definitely with recent history. I mean, there's a lot of guys they can run out there, and, you know, even some of the younger, less experienced guys, they're all pretty darn good. And, you know, if they don't have it that day, there seems to be the next guy that they can hand it to really come in and fill the gap. So there's definitely a lot more options than I remember in recent history.
Demon was talking about Camden Clark, didn't have a good outing, told him yesterday, I'm learning, I've got to learn to flush this kind of thing. How hard is that learning curve?
You know, on a big stage like this, it can be. You know, I guess if I'm being fully honest, I wasn't the guy that was easy able to flush a bad pitch or bad that. But as you got older and more mature, you learn to realize to be a professional about it. I mean, and I really think, you know, you don't want to be too high, don't want to be too low. You know, you got to find that happy medium. You know, whether you're up by 10 or down by 10.
And when you hear people say about I have to learn this, what? One thing you have to keep in mind, particularly if you're pitching for Southern Miss, whatever high school you played for or junior college played for, you were probably a stud.
And Camden was, absolutely.
Yeah, and didn't even have to pitch well and still win. But one of the things you got to learn now is these hitters are a heck of a lot better than the guys you faced in high school and JUCO, and there is just no room for error.
You're right, and it's going to happen. It's not if, it's when, you know. But, you know, guys going to get a hold of one and get it out the park. You're just going to need to limit it to a solo home run and not, you know, allow free bases or anything ahead like that.
Well, certainly, you know, we've seen in the past in Southern Miss Regionals and postseason, you know, scenarios where this kind of pitcher just comes out of nowhere and gives them this, you know, incredible outing. You know, as a young guy, you know, and I'm sure you could attest to this, when you were pitching, like, is it when you get that first batter out, you just kind of start rolling and all of adrenaline's kind of going? And, or how does those moments actually occur? Is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
That's how you can – that's, you know, obviously an out makes it. My big thing was always getting through the first inning, not just the first out. It was the first inning. You know, you get too amped up. You know, you can let the situation get the best of you. But once you get through – first out, first inning, or whatever, it's like, okay, we're settled in, we're able to pitch our game and let it ride from here.
And it doesn't take long for pitchers to know if it's going to be a good day, control wise,
right,
or if it's going
to
be a bad day.
Which brings me to this question, Josh, and you're a great guy to ask this question to. You look at a kid like Josh Hawk, who's been so valuable all year. I mean, he's just been reliable. You bring him in to close the championship game, and it was almost like he was throwing the ball, tell me where you want me to throw it.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? I mean, what happens, and then how do you get that out of your head?
Well, you know, to me, obviously I want to say it's just baseball. You know, that happens at times. And to me, in that situation, he's used to a much tighter game. He's coming in where, you know, it's like sending a closer out when you're up by 8 or 10. It's a totally different mental approach for him when, hey, I've got two on, one out, we're up by one, you know, to come in. It's just a totally different approach. And I'm not saying you take anything off or it's different, but it is. There's something that is different about going in when you're up by nine versus up by one or two. But I think you got to flush it and be ready for the regionals, and he's going to be back to what he was.
Well, we were saying we anticipate he'll be one of the first relievers Oz goes to.
Got to get him back out there, get some confidence, whether it's just three outs or whatever.
Because you need him.
You got to have him. Obviously, with the way we're using Colby, you got to have him on the back end.
Yep. I totally agree. I personally think it is going to be Allen, the first reliever coming out of the pen, because you have to win the first game. But he's certainly going to be used. And like you said, maybe not where you need him to come in the fifth or sixth inning, but, you know, one of those ninth inning, just give me three outs just to get some confidence back, like you said, because confidence, it goes a long way in a pitcher's head.
Absolutely, and, I mean, obviously he's as big of a competitor as there is, but he would even tell you confidence, and when you're right mentally, it makes a lot of difference on how you perform out there.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of things when you look at this opener that Southern Miss takes on Arkansas Little Rock, and we're going to break it down a little bit as the week goes on, but there's a lot of Little Rock Southern Miss connections, a lot of what we in the media will call storylines, right? Not just the game itself, but the people behind the scenes. And when you break this Little Rock staff down and the Southern Miss, there are a lot of respect on both sides of the field for these teams because of the connections and relationships that have already been established.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think of, you know, head coach over there at Little Rock, head coach Chris Curry, You know, he coached at Meridian. He was the head coach at Meridian, and lo and behold, his assistant coaches were Scott Berry and the late Corky Palmer. So he actually said in an interview, and I read it in a story this morning in one of the Arkansas papers, saying that everything we do here at Little Rock is because of Scott Berry. Or, you know, everything we do here is because of Corky Palmer. He says, I just can't wait to get to Hattiesburg just to have breakfast with Scott Berry. So a lot of love in between Southern Miss and Little Rock. A lot of stories.
I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway, Justin. Is that a team that can beat Southern Miss if Southern Miss doesn't play its best game?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's baseball, and that guy they're going to run out there Friday is – He's good.
Yeah. And just in case, Justin, in the unlikely event that Troy were to come here in a super regional, what day is trash pickup so that their pitching staff can wait out by the cans, right?
I'll be honest, that's though, that'd be a dream scenario for us here, here in Midtown area.
Yeah. We're going to get clipped.
You couldn't draw it up any better.
I wasn't the one that started it.
No, that is a fantasy, man. I would give anything to see Troy come here for a super regional.
I think you and maybe three other people.
I don't know if I would want to see it.
Did you hear the comment the guy made in the game Sunday, the announcer?
I did, the trash pit.
What did you make of that when you heard that?
You got to make sure that mic ain't hot first. I mean, in all honesty, if we're being honest, there's been some worse things. Yeah, there's been worse things said with a mic on.
People need to remember, this guy's born and raised in Louisiana. He's an LSU pitcher. He's going to speak his mind.
Absolutely.
He just didn't know the microphone.
Yeah, but normally if you're a former LSU pitcher, nobody understands what you're saying.
Yeah, he had very good English to be an LSU graduate. You're correct about that. You're correct.
So to the Troy fans that might be listening, and if we aren't being clipped, I didn't start this. I'm just
– No. It was hilarious.
And, again, both teams have a lot of work to do.
It was hilarious. All right, Justin, what you want people to know about Fuzzies this weekend? What a great weekend to come here, man.
Man, we're going to be here all weekend. Obviously, the same thing, same promotions. Our staff's going to be ready to take care and handle all the extra foot traffic we're going to have. We're just looking forward to making it, you know, the go-to place before and after the game. And there's other great restaurants around in Midtown as well. I mean, we want to support everybody, but we're looking forward to a really good time here as well.
And Bob and Dima have learned that it's very important that in rain delays, lightning delays,
you have somewhere to go.
Yes.
I'm coming to Fuzzy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I found myself sitting in a hotel room the other day on a Friday afternoon watching Earth versus Flying Saucers. And I'm thinking, I drove four hours for this.
Well, I just said rain delays and lightning delays, and Dima just hung his head like...
We could be in for a few. So.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember a couple of years ago when we had a super here, we were here doing the show. We had Steve Davenport here that day, and a tremendous storm came through here. Do you remember?
It was, yes.
It was a serious storm that came through. My man, we always appreciate you very much.
Appreciate it, guys.
I meant what I said. You've been one of the, if not the best friend of this show and for 10 years, and we appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
He's going to join us Thursday, do some more baseball analysis, and we're going to let Amy come on. Can we talk to Amy?
Absolutely. She'll be ready.
All right. We'll bring Daniel Stewart back. We're at Fuzzy's Tacos in Midtown. Stay with us, everybody.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the road. We're at Fuzzy's Tacos here in Midtown. Really, truly our favorite hangout, isn't it, Kelly? It has been for a long time.
And if you look at the weather forecast, let's be honest, we don't make the weather, right? But if you do get in a situation where you need a place to hang for a little while, and Dima's still just dreading it.
I just experienced the worst weather delays.
He's got tears in his eyes. Can you hand him a Kleenex?
Hello. But, I mean, truthfully, if you, particularly folks coming in from out of town, keep Fuzzies in mind because they're going to have you covered with whatever.
Well, save a table for me because I'm not sitting in a hotel room for 15 hours again, I hope, anytime soon. That was fun, one of them. Dima, introduce our guest.
Yeah, we got Craig Stevenson with AL.com on the line with us. Craig, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hey, Hattiesburg has grown since I've been there the last time. They've got a midtown now.
Very nice midtown. You'd be shocked if you saw it. It is. It has just transformed the entire city, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right across from the campus. You know, we're walking distance from the Pete. I guess not in the rain though. But
no.
Well, Craig, I mean, let's talk about the Sun Belt getting five teams in. I mean, I know that a lot of people were kind of shocked that Texas State got in over Mercer, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on it because you're obviously well-versed in the Sun Belt and all those things, but, you know, writingforyale.com. So I just want to hear your thoughts and how big that is for the league, but also how surprised you were.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought, obviously, Southern Miss, Coastal, and Louisiana were locks by the time we got to the Sun Belt tournament. Couple other teams might have a chance to play their way in. You know, Troy, they were very sure they were getting in. I'm not sure. I don't think I was sure they were getting in, but it turned out they didn't have a whole lot to worry about. And then Texas State. Yeah, I guess Texas State was kind of fringy. You know, you could have taken Mercer over them. You could have taken, you know, even Kentucky over them. But they make it. That's big for the Sun Belt. First time ever with five teams. And, you know, I know the talking point now is that the Sun Belt is not a mid-major in baseball. And, you know, based on that, having more teams in the Big Ten, among others, you can't really argue.
And they got more teams than anybody outside of the SEC and the ACC. Am I right about that?
In Big 12.
I think the Big 12.
Big 12
too.
Big 12. Yeah, but they got more than the Big
impressive.
10 and – Yeah, very impressive. And I know you don't necessarily cover Jacksonville State, but were you surprised that they were a three seed?
Yeah, I was. I thought, you know, top 25 RPI, you know, and some nice wins on their schedule, obviously. I thought they would be a two. You know, I think most of the projections had them as a two, but it seems like their strength of schedule number overall, I think it was in the 100s, but that's because they're in Conference USA, and there's nothing they can really do about that. What you can do is go out and schedule big games outside the conference, which they did, and won a few of those games. They swept Auburn, you know, which is a top five national seed. So, yeah, I was surprised they were three. But, you know, the difference between two and a three is kind of negligible, but at the same time, you know, you've got to play a better number two, obviously, in that first round. But,
Daniel,
you know, in terms of it's not the difference between being a three and a four, obviously.
I think you kind of took my question for you, Daniel.
Yeah.
From a player standpoint, is there any difference being the two or three seed?
No, there's really not. You know, but I look at these teams, and you can't tell me that if you're a player for Virginia, you're thinking you're coming into Southern Miss and you're thinking you're the one seed. You can't tell me they're not thinking this because – of the history that they've got a good team. Now, they lost their coach to Mississippi State this year, but I think they're probably happy they're coming here. Jacksonville State, though, does have a good program, so I'm really glad they're playing each other first to kind of get the lay of the land, so to speak, on how good these teams are going to play.
Absolutely, I agree with that. And I think the only difference between a two and a three is if you're a two, you know, playing that three seed, you're going to play probably a less quote-unquote good ace, you know, if that makes sense. And then for like a three seed, you're playing a pretty good two seed ace, if that makes sense. That's probably the only difference in a two and a three. But Craig, I wanted to ask you about Troy getting into the field, but specifically their matchup in the Gainesville Regional. Troy's a team who can, as we saw it in the Sun Belt tournament, is really scrappy. They have some good arms. I mean, they seem to me a dark horse that could get out of that thing.
Yeah, they can really hit, as you know. Jimmy Janicki, Aaron Pisecki in particular, and even Blake Cavill, who had kind of a down year for him but came on toward the end of the year and had a great Sun Belt tournament. Yeah, they can put runs on the board. It's just a matter of what is their bullpen going to do. And we saw all the ninth-inning horror shows we saw all weekend in the Sun Belt and, you know, in the Sun Belt tournament. But the fact of the matter is they won two of those games, you know, with those horrific ninth inning. And I think they found something in Zach Crutchfield, who was the Auburn transfer and really, really looked like a dominant pitcher, both in relief against South Alabama and in his start against Southern Miss. I mean, I assume he's their number one now, and I would guess he's going to start on Friday against Miami, although I don't know that for sure. But, man, he was humming at mid-90s, you know, for several innings. In that game against Southern Miss, so
it was good.
Yeah, they're
on
again,
short
their record,
rest.
Their record
yeah.
looks What's that?
I said, and on short rest, he was still pumping 95, 96.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, they like you said, their overall record looks ugly, but they have beaten some good teams this year, as we know. Beat Southern Miss, beat Alabama, beat, you know, Maryland, which is a traditionally strong program, beat Georgia. I give them a chance. It's always tough to win a regional at an SEC spot. But we did see South Alabama go down there in 2021 and actually ended up beating, I think they beat Florida twice and beat Miami, then lost to South Florida of all teams in the final. So yeah, it can be done.
Craig, let me tell you.
Florida's here, got two great pitchers.
Here on the Eagle Hour, we are quietly praying for a Troy Southern Miss Super Regional here in Hattiesburg. On a scale of 1 to 10, how exciting do you think that could turn out to be?
That would be cool. I mean, we saw them play two really competitive games and one less competitive game, but still, you know, Troy had his chances. So, that would be a lot of fun to see, you know. Obviously, it would guarantee the Sun Belt team in Omaha, which we won't see happen.
And they love us, Craig, over at Troy. They'd love to come to Pete Taylor Park and hang out with their Southern Miss friends.
Yeah, they take
on the personality of their coach. I'll say this, and Skylar Meade is a very, very confident person. He was proven right based on all the talk about them making a regional. He ended up being right.
Yeah.
About
Yeah, I think they Absolutely. Like us like cold toilet seats. But before you go, Craig, if you're the selection committee having the father-son talk with Mercer, and this final question I'm going to ask about that, when Mercer, and really you have to hand it to them, they did everything that they thought they were supposed to do and still didn't get in. And that father-to-son talk, how do you explain that to them where Texas State gets in and they don't, when they did everything they were supposed to do?
It's a great question, and I really can't explain it. I guess you just got to come back and try again next time, you know. And it's kind of what Troy did. They were really, really disappointed last year, thought they should have been in. I think had an RPI in the 40s, you know, and I guess you just got to schedule the heck out of it. You know, that's all I can say is, you know, just go out and maybe even over-schedule like Troy did. I thought, you know, Troy at one point was 22 and 25, 12 and 11 in the Sun Belt, had just gotten swept at home by App State, and looked like they were going nowhere, and then all of a sudden they turned it on toward the end of the year.
And I know a lot of people think that I'm trashing Texas State, or should be defending Texas State, but the fact of the matter is they're going to the Pac-12 next year anyway. So as far as that's concerned, they're one foot in the door.
Well, imagine being a kid or a supporter or a coach at Mercer.
Yeah,
and you've done everything you could be expected to do. You must just be bitter about this.
Yeah, well, they're like 44-19 and top 25 RPI and
conference
regular season champions. They didn't win the tournament championship, mm-hmm. but I mean, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. Craig, looking around the Sun Belt, Louisiana's in Starkville, Texas State's been mentioned in College Station, Coastal's in Tallahassee. Outside of Southern Miss, who's a team that you like to get out of a regional?
You know, I guess you have to say Coastal because they're the most talented, but I just don't – they don't always seem to be the sum of their parts, you know. So maybe it's Louisiana. I don't know, although obviously that's an incredibly tough place to play as well. So, golly, it's a hard one.
Out of the Sun Belt teams?
Besides Southern Miss?
Probably ULL, Louisiana. You know, I watched them play this past week, and, you know, Troy and ULL, both very, very gritty baseball teams. Mm-hmm. They don't care where they're playing. They're going to play hard. So I think they could probably put a few things together and come out of Starkville winning that.
Yeah, you know, Craig, I thought Louisiana looked magnificent all week. Mm-hmm. They had to travel back and forth to Troy. I think they just fell victim to fatigue Sunday and was unable to compete with Southern Miss. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. They were just worn out. And, you know, they've obviously got a great program there, too. But, again, yeah, Coastal, like I said, Coastal's got the most talent, but they don't always play like it. So, yeah, I'd go to Louisiana, I guess, if you make me
pick. Greg, we sure appreciate your input, my man. Thank you. We look forward to a great weekend of college baseball.
All right, y'all take care.
We'll be back. Wrap things up here from Fuzzy's Tacos. We're going to bring the real brain thrust behind Fuzzy's on the show next. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Okay, welcome back. Another great afternoon at Fuzzy's Tacos, and we just love being down here so much. And we decided we were going to bring the real secret to Fuzzy's. The person that really runs it, the brain thrust behind the operation. Introduce her to us, Kelly.
Amy, what's going on?
What's going on, Kelly?
I'm ready to go back to work tomorrow night for trivia here.
I know.
One of the many things that goes on. I want to backtrack a little bit. How did Cinco de Mayo go this year?
It was a record year for us.
Yeah.
It was wild.
But you guys have special things going on all the time.
Right.
So with the tournament coming in this weekend, any particular things that you've talked to the staff about to expect?
We are so excited. We're just expecting to be busy. You know, we have happy hour every day, 2 to 6, so you can hit us before the game or after the game, or if you don't have tickets to the game, you come watch the game here during happy hour. We're just ready to be busy. We're just party on hardy right here, and we're the place to be.
And we've got our fingers crossed, because when you do look at that weather forecast, and we are looking outside right now, and it is coming down in sheets. So even with the turf field at Southern Miss, which has obviously been a great thing for the Eagles, it's still going to take time.
Right.
If we get into one of these things, fans are going to need to have a place to hang out.
And we experienced that last year as well. And when they kind of take that pause, where does everybody run? Right here to Fuzzy's.
That's a great place to come.
We're ready for that,
I told Justin earlier, we came over here last year after the heavyweight Saturday afternoon fight with Alabama in the regionals. And the atmosphere in here was just incredible. It was so much fun to be here after that game, and it'll be that way all weekend, won't it?
Oh, yeah. And then we're actually, excited to work these long days. It's just fun. It's not even work at this point. It's just fun to be here and fun to be a part of this.
No question.
When you hear all the time about prices going up and up and up, I look at this menu, and I don't think prices have changed hardly at all. I mean, I don't know.
A little bit here and there over the year, but, you know, we try to keep it as low as we can so we can stay competitive and, you know, stay the place to be.
And it's great. It's great to see young families come in here.
Right.
You know,
we definitely have the best bar menu in town, no doubt.
Yeah. Now, Amy, let's be honest. No, just between us guys here at the table, no one else will ever hear this. What does Justin really do? Does he just sit around and kind of look good?
I don't know that I should tell that. I might get in trouble.
Actually, I'm relieved. I thought he was going to ask you about my drinking habits again.
He does sign my checks.
Yeah, he does sign your check.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And that's really important.
He's good at that, right.
Now, do you really allow Kelly down here on Wednesday night? And go ahead and tell us, how does he behave?
Like I said, we're a family-friendly restaurant, but when Kelly's in the building, he comes with a warning label.
Actually, wherever Kelly goes, he goes with a warning label. But you got your frozen Jack and Cokes over here, too.
And we have Bushwhacker we just put in the machine for this weekend, so we're ready to go.
How about the Blackberry Margaritas?
That's really good. You like a sweet and flavored margarita? That's one of the best. That's your favorite.
You ever had one of those?
I like the watermelon myself.
You ever had these margaritas in here?
No. Not here.
Come here and get you a blackberry margarita and then get another one.
Well, I'm a glutton for chips and salsa, and Fuzzy's has the best chips and salsa you can eat.
Right.
There's no
town.
Doubt about that, Daniel.
Best salsa in town.
Whatever this stuff is y'all put on.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I could eat it straight. What is that?
That's our fuzzy dust.
Fuzzy dust.
That's our secret recipe.
Now, the dust you and I had in college.
No, let's not talk about it.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was not the... Well, never mind.
No, they're both good. They're both good, but only one is legal.
Y'all, that's a really serious thing you just said.
Absolutely.
They put that. They put the Fuzzy's dust on the nacho, and it's just so delicious. You can just eat a bag of that.
Well, I've got a coaster at my house that says something to the effect of, when do I stop eating chips and salsa? Do I just die? Yeah, that's kind of how I feel when I'm eating these chips and salsa. Oh. It's just like, when do I stop eating them? They're so good.
It's like one of your specialties, too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we make that every day.
And we joke a lot of time, Amy, about college kids not wanting to work, but all the college kids that I've seen that work here are very dedicated.
They're great kids.
Yeah. So
for the most part.
Well, I mean,
right,
sure.
Right, yeah. They all left for the summer break, so, you know, we kind of got a small little crew for the summer, but we'll have them back here in the fall.
Okay. All right, before we run out of time, the tournament starts Thursday. People will be coming into town. Tournament starts Friday. People will be coming into town on Thursday. What are the hours that people can visit here?
We open 9 a.m. till 10 p.m., and then Friday, Saturday, we're open 9 a.m. till 11 p.m.
Okay. And they're located, in case you don't know, right here in Midtown. First business, I think, that opened in Midtown.
Yeah. Now, y'all have breakfast items, right?
Yep. All day. And that, we have full menu at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you want to come in here.
Breakfast menu? This is news to me.
No, well, this is perfect because when Dima gets off at 5 a.m.
He can come over and get some breakfast before the next game.
Right.
We'll be in bed, Dima, but you're out covering.
He's not laughing at any of this. Bob.
He don't find it funny. I watched him all week. Dima don't want to hear about no rain delays.
Well, when you look at that weather forecast, fellas, I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
And look, I hope we're wrong, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
selfishly, it's good for us.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, no
people
question.
Be somewhere to come in.
Hey, before we run out of town, I want to remind everybody, we'll be at P. Taylor Park tomorrow from 1 to 3 o'clock, special two-hour show. Travis Creel is going to be joining us. Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. Stats McGee, the famous Stats McGee. Thomas Ashworth, who is a beat writer for
Jacksonville State.
Jacksonville State at AL.com. And we'll be visiting with a wonderful person by the name of Josh Warren. So tune in from 1 to 3. It's going to be a great show. Wednesday and Thursday, 1 to 3, Eagle Hour from Pete Taylor Park. It's always delightful having you on.
Thank you, and I'll be back Thursday.
You'll be back Thursday.
I'll be back Thursday.
Amy is right here at Fuzzy's Tacos, and we hope we'll see you here as well. Back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.